The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 715. It's the 20th of February, 2017. On the podcast today, Andrea Cattaneo, CEO of Zenith Energy, ZEN, talks about the sale of its operations in Argentina. Also on the podcast, Neil Sinclair, CEO of Palace Capital, ticker there is PCA, and Neil talks about current trading and highlights some of the opportunities that the Brexit vote presented. Plus, this is an AIM company that has a dividend and also generates a profit. Quite rare on AIM. I also have Malki Oil and Gas Sector Authority talking about Falcon Oil and Gas, that's FOG, Jersey Oil and Gas, JOG, and Lekol, LEK. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs on the website this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrea Cattaneo, CEO of Zenith Energy, that's ticker ZEN. Andrea, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much to you, Justin.
I don't think I've ever talked to someone live from Azerbaijan before, so it's a first for me, and it's about 4 hours later than it is over here. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Azerbaijan is the home of Zenith, and then as a consequence, I spend the majority of my time here.
Marvellous. Okay, well, listen, you've got some news out today, quite important news. We'll get to that in a bit. But for people not aware of what you're all about, Andrea, can you give us a brief summary as to Zenith Energy, please?
So Zenith Energy is a company focused in production and creation of cash flow. It's not a company that focuses in any regional specific area. By definition, but instead it looks after finding producing area that have potential upside and comfort for the investor that there is cash flow every day. So historically we found that first in Argentina, which is then the point of the news of today, but then we found a much better home in Azerbaijan and Europe and Central Asia, and so is where we are based now. Of course, as the time grows, the commitment of the management grow as well, and then we need to be focused in an area, by definition, because having to travel 15,000 kilometers to reach another of your own properties is a great fatigue and distraction for the management. So the focus of the company is that, yes, we are a producing company, we focus only in production, but as well we should have a geographical focus, which we are reaching today.
Yes, so excellent. So until today, you did have sort of, like I said, operations in Argentina, in Azerbaijan and Italy, and now you've sold your operations there. Take us through, you just mentioned why, essentially, but obviously this now lets you focus on Azerbaijan. So what was the deal? How long have you had the Argentinian assets and why have you decided to, apart from, geographically not working out for you, are there any other reasons there, Andrea, why you decided to, divest these operations?
The most important one is the management time. Mm-hmm. Because being in two continents, Latin America and in Europe, before has caused us a lot of distraction and a lot of fatigue traveling, as I said, 25 hours to reach from Azerbaijan to Argentina. In addition, the Argentinian case has become, as explained in the prospectus, more and more complicated. And then the management time that should be in case devoted to Argentina has grown bigger and bigger. And so the decision of the board has been to refocus the strength and the energies of the management only in one part, Europe. As you know, Azerbaijan is part of Europe, mm-hmm. is the holder of the Grand Prix of Europe, and Italy is part of Europe. And so we have at least productions in only one continent, and this is what we want. And so then the disposal, which is the news of today, of Argentina comes to that, to focusing only in one area.
Yes. Okay. So let's focus on Azerbaijan for a minute. Just tell us how things are going there. I know you've done some a couple of well workovers. You've two different teams working out there. How are those well workovers going, please, Andrea?
You know, this is started only 7 days ago, so it's too early to report. We can only report that obviously with this news of having disposed of Argentina, our attention and time and devotion is only to one place, Azerbaijan and Italy. And so in Azerbaijan, where we have one workover ongoing and the second workover being started soon, is the center of our attention. So we cannot report additional news from Azerbaijan. We should do it with a separate podcast in some days, 10-15. And as previously passed to the investors as deadline. But today focus is the fact that sadly, because I'm very attached to Argentina, I'm even an Argentinian citizen, but we don't want to distract our small energies. Let's remember that we are a small oil and gas junior, and we cannot spend too many things in too many continents. So this is the philosophy, and we believe that it will work out.
Yeah, so I assume obviously Azerbaijan as well has major potential there, because just the summary of what you've previously said, currently producing around about 300 barrels of oil per day. Back in peak, when was this? Back in the 70s, 80s, was it? It did hit between 9 and 15,000 barrels a day, wasn't that the case?
Absolutely, absolutely. So Azerbaijan is the real key of all our development at upside for the moment, before we make any other acquisition. And so I think that being sitting here, as I do today, and many other days of the year, is the right thing to do, and not to travel 15,000 kilometers to follow teams in another country. We thank you very much. We thank you, the teams, very much for the devotion in Argentina. It's a day of farewell today, but Argentina has been very necessary to our growth as a credible oil and gas producing company and operator. And so we respect the history of the company and the people that assisted us before. We are very keen to thank the workforce and the people that assisted us, stakeholders of the company. But today our upside is in Europe. And both in Italy and Azerbaijan, we can create tripling our production, which is what we are trying to do, as you know, by the 31st of March 2018.
Exactly. You've got that 1,000 barrels a day target on the 31st of March next year, and obviously not this year. So it's all going well. Well, Andrea, thanks for coming back on to give us an update on that. And it's nice to see that you are now focused on that area in Azerbaijan. And I can imagine how tiring it is flying between continents. Yeah, you may be clocking up the air miles there a lot, but yeah, it's very tiring, and obviously your focus can't be on one asset if you're travelling around the globe all the time. Andrea, thanks for coming on. One more final thing. As you know, on the podcast here, every day I ask people to give us three reasons why, you know, someone should follow you. So for people not following Zenith Energy now, could you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please?
I do with pleasure. The first things about investment is trust. And then you can trust a team that is an industrial team and is focused in producing reasonably, industrially, in a serious way, in only one or two locations, no more, and in the same geographical area. The second is the fact that producing, we create every night technically an accrued invoice, and then after a week an invoice, and then this invoice is very promptly paid and we have cash. So we are not a company recurring to shareholders, continuously to print shares and to have money. And the third is that we are very ambitious, and we believe that we are delivering news, which are good news to our investors all the time. And we look forward to the next news, which will be good in terms of additional production and the additional properties.
Excellent, Andrea. Lovely to chat to you, and I look forward to chatting to you again very soon when you have future and more news out. Thanks very much.
All the best.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Sinclair, CEO of Palace Capital. It's PCA ticker. Neil, thank you for joining me.
Delighted. Good morning.
Morning. Now, listen, at the start of every podcast, what I like to do, Neil, is to give people a feel as to the business, is to ask you to give a summary as to what you're all about. So off you go, please.
Right. Palace Capital is a property investment company. Mm-hmm. We primarily focus outside London. We don't buy in London. We buy in the regions. And it's a company that was listed well over 11 years ago. We took board control about 6 years ago when the market cap was only just over £100,000. Mm-hmm. That's how small it was. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the last few years, we built it up. We have a market cap now just in excess of £90 million. Mm-hmm. And in addition, we've got 50 properties. We've got a rent roll of £13.5 million. With properties valued last September 30 at £185 million, all outside London.
Yeah, yeah. And so tell us about the kind of properties you invest in, please, Neil.
So we invest in industrial property and office property and leisure property. We've got two leisure schemes, one in Northampton, one in Halifax, both of which effectively fully let. We've got office buildings in York, Manchester, Leeds, Weybridge, Staines, all what I call good towns. But what we do, we've got these buildings, but what we do is we improve them. Mm-hmm. So we don't just buy an investment let for 20 years and sit on it. We buy a property that's let for a shorter time, but where we can refurbish it, re-let vacant space, and increase the value. It's called added value, really. That's what we do.
Yeah, yeah. And do you have a certain amount of time you hold on to property for before, or as long as it's giving you returns, you hold it? Is that the case?
Well, if we've got a good return, we keep it. But where we've got property, particularly vacant, we often sell it, because one of the problems with vacant property, which is in the news at the moment, is you get caught with empty rates.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What happens is you haven't even got the income. You then got empty rates to pay. Very often you've got security costs to pay, insurance to pay, and in consequence, it's a drain.
So
we often, with a vacant property, if it's in a location that's not that wonderful, we frankly sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? I was just talking to you before we came on here about Brexit and the effects on the property sector. And I jumped in and invested in Persimmon on that day because I thought way oversold, not on fundamentals. How did Brexit affect you? I mean, was it a benefit? Was it a curse? What happened there? The vote, I mean.
I will tell you that Brexit, as far as I'm concerned, has been a benefit. Mm-hmm. Because if you go into the regions, they are very happy about Brexit. So they're very confident about everything. So you're seeing in the regions, particularly the letting market, is actually getting stronger in some cities than it was 9 months ago.
Yeah.
We're finding we're getting more interest in the vacant space we've got in the regions than we've ever had. And that's the Brexit issue. The second advantage of Brexit for us is, for example, we bought an office building of about 78,000 square feet in the middle of Manchester. Mm-hmm. Now, we couldn't break into Manchester. There was the sort of local mafia, or there were institutions. We just couldn't get a look in. But when the referendum date was announced, I would say 90% of property people withdrew from the market.
Wow.
So we suddenly had a clear run to buy this property right near Manchester Piccadilly Station, which we did, and we bought it. And we bought it before the result of the referendum was known. So that gave us an advantage. The second advantage is during that time, we were negotiating a 10-year loan with a major institution on one of our properties. The Brexit result came out, and you all recall, interest rates fell.
Mm-hmm.
And what then happened is the swap rates fell, and a loan which we were negotiating with one of the major institutions at 3.5%, we actually fixed at 2.9%. Purely because the interest rates fell.
Yeah.
So that was a benefit to us as well.
Wow, so it's amazing. Yeah. So essentially, you know, like I said, it wasn't based on fundamental issues here.
No.
You got people running from the market scared. It was, I mean, you saw all the press and all the media, you know, really sort of stoking up this fear. And so that basically gave you an opportunity to step into the Manchester market and also, you know, get a better deal on interest there. So that's amazing.
It's given us an opportunity. But, you know, if you go in the regions, and I go every week, I'm in the regions every week. You listen to them talking, and these people actually understand it, and they say, what's the problem? the Europeans want to sell to the UK. We're 65 million people. We are a big market.
Yeah.
So what's everybody scared of?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, they're very confident up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, and looking at, you know, business performance and your results of late and going forward, how are you? I can see the last sort of interims you released looks very bullish. Interim dividend up 29%. To 9
Correct.
Pence, yeah.
Correct.
NAV per share up 1.2%. Portfolio valuation is at 184.8 million. It's all looking good. Are you seeing this continue?
I think so, because we've got properties that have got inherent value.
Yeah.
And we invest in cities that people want to be in. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a major scheme we're planning in York. Our property is a big office building, which we're hopefully going to redevelop for offices and residential. Yeah. But the property is only about a minute's walk from the station.
Okay.
York, when you go there, York has 7 million visitors a year.
Mm.
It's a very, very growing city. Yeah. So we're located where people want to be. So we've got this big building in Milton Keynes, for example. We've got several buildings there. Milton Keynes is the fastest growing town in the whole of the UK. We're there. So we're in Manchester, and if you go to Manchester, all you see is cranes.
Yeah.
So you know things are happening there. So we're very, what we call, picky about where we buy.
Yeah.
But when we think it's right, we do it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We think we're in the right towns in the right right locations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. So as far as we're concerned, since we did our first major acquisition, which was in October 2013, our NAV has risen by 90%.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes.
You know, and
it's looking good then, Neil. You're quite bullish about the future.
I'm confident because we don't take unnecessary risks. We are very careful about what we buy, and we always finance well. Because it's not just the price you pay, it's how you finance it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's those two things. So in consequence, my company has seen considerable dividend growth. Mm-hmm. since we started. We've seen the NAV growth since we started, and there's more to come.
Yeah, and I suppose, like you said, you've been, you know, in the game for a while, and you sort of have it down. You know exactly what you're looking for. You're focused. I'm looking on your website here, and I'm, well, kind of 33 properties at the moment. Is that right? Is
50. 50. 50.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
we've got over 50 properties, all around the country. You know, Exeter, Bristol, Birmingham, Manchester, Leeds. We're outside London.
Yeah.
And of course, London's taking a little bit of a dip at the moment.
Yeah.
But in the regions, it's quite different because there's been far less redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
So what is happening, you've noticed with HSBC, for example, they're moving to Birmingham, their retail banking.
Yeah.
They've taken another big building in Sheffield. So there's a lot happening in the regions. And, you know, in London, I live in London.
Yeah.
We live in a little bit of a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, and in consequence, a lot of people in London don't really understand what's going on in the regions. But you'll understand it if you went there.
Yeah. It's a stage where, you know, after a while, you get a lot of, like, say, international buyers in London really pushing the prices up. And it's not sustainable for, you know, locals or the sort of domestic market. And they see there is value outside London completely. You know, and in fact, it gets to a stage where people think it's actually insane to be in London at the prices they're at, you know?
Well, you know, London will always be London. Mm. But like any property person, you make your money going in, not coming out. So
yes.
it's what you pay for in the first place.
Yeah,
and what
yeah.
we've noticed in the last 12 months is the number of overseas investors that are in the regions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can tell you, 2 years ago, some of these investors didn't even know where these cities were.
Yeah.
But now they're getting the returns. So they're going to Leeds and they're going to Manchester.
So what kind of countries are we talking about? Middle Eastern, Far Eastern?
Middle Eastern, yeah. US, a
okay.
lot of US.
All right.
Yeah. Singapore, you know, there's a lot of them. And don't forget, they've also got a currency benefit at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've had the benefit of a 15-20% devaluation. So in consequence, it's very good for them, mm-hmm. right, to buy in the UK.
Yeah,
because
okay.
the UK is seen as a safe haven.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, Neil, listen, every day on the podcast, what I do is like to highlight the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform here. And so if people are not following you right now, Neil, could you give us three reasons as to why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please, which is PCA Palace Capital, please?
Yes, I think there's three reasons. I think we've shown, firstly, considerable dividend and capital growth since we took over Palace Capital. Most of our acquisitions, secondly, most of our acquisitions have been corporate. So in consequence, we've paid limited stamp duty and can also take the benefit of capital losses within those companies. Mm-hmm. That's what we've done. And thirdly, we improve our buildings, which are in the right locations, and therefore they can show considerable growth. And we've shown that in the last 3 years, and we think we'll continue to show it.
Lovely, Neil. Good to chat to you, and hope to chat again off the back of some future news in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Great. Have a good weekend.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is a man of the oil and gas sector. It's no other man apart from Malky. He's the man. You're right, Malky.
Yeah, good morning, Justin.
Okay, fella, what are we chatting about today? What stocks are you looking at the moment?
We're talking about two stocks I've spoken about before, which is Falcon and Jersey Oil and Gas, and also a quick word about Lek Oil.
Okay, all right. Well, let's get on to the Falcon then. What's happening there?
Well, Falcon, I spoke about earlier in the year, and it's a very exciting stock with a big sort of question mark one has to just bear in mind. So there's a risk warning here, but Falcon are drilling with Origin and Sasol in the Northern Territories of Australia. This is unconventional territory and a shale, and they've been drilling for some time. Origin is probably the best company in the world in this business, and are very excited about it. So what happened was that we knew already that there had been success, and the trouble is the new government in the Northern Territory has declared a moratorium. So after this well, they're not allowed to do anything. So the announcement came last week of this well, and there's absolutely no doubt at all that it's an absolutely storming well. This is, I think their description was a material gas play. I think it's a huge game-changing gas play, and it's, you know, 6.6 TCF of gas could be, you know, up to 500 TCF. Now, they get about 15-16% recoverable on this, but even so, you know, 10% of 20 TCF would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a huge, the huge sort of beta hanging over it, Justin, is that this moratorium is a political thing, so the answer is anything can happen. Initially, we thought that it was in play for the whole of the four-year government. The chief minister has now said that there'll be an interim decision in the summer, so we might find that things, the market certainly thinks, because it doubled last week on this news, it'll go up. But I think it is such a major gas play. I mean, this is major even for Australia.
Yeah.
The Northern Territories, and of course the taxes that they would be able to incur from this, the Northern Territories, providing they can get safety and all sorts of all the necessary, you know, the nothing near towns and that sort of stuff. And I would feel that it's much more possible that they're going to go ahead with this. Now, in my view, I mean, I've been a huge fan of Falcon forever and ever, and like everybody else, was terribly depressed when the moratorium happened. That the shareholders are a 10-bagger from here, without any matter of doubt, if the moratorium gets lifted. But shareholders have just got to be aware that if for any reason, and it is a political decision by, I think it's a socialist, the new socialist prime minister, that, you know, they could easily go against it. I don't think it will, but you have to bear that in mind, Justin, on things like this.
Yeah, just looking at the chart there, it's phenomenal. Last Wednesday they announced that news, and it went from 6 pence on the Wednesday to 8 pence. Then on a Thursday, it went from 8 pence to almost just shy of 12 pence. And on the Friday, it went from 12 pence to almost 16 pence. And it's come back today, it's about 14 pence. But, yeah, like I said, more than doubled. A heck of a rise over 3 trading days there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is one to nuance and play gently. I mean, it's not going to, you know, go through the roof all the time. But you have to, you know, you have to bet. You know, it's quite an interesting one for the shareholders, because, you know that there's massive value in there. You're just not quite sure when it's going to come out. And if it's a political decision, it's made more difficult. But, I think Philip Quigley, who's, you know, the CEO here, and the Origin team, are so confident that they will be able to make a good case to the government, and the local government will give it the approval. But, as I say, it's a big red flag to watch out for.
Cool. All right. What was the next stock you were saying, Marky?
Jersey Oil and Gas. Went into the list. And this, you look at the chart there, and it's beginning to motor quite substantially. It will motor a lot more. This thing is drilling. Jersey is drilling. When it farmed out to Statoil, one of the biggest companies in the world, its North Sea acreage in the Verbier block, and so they're carried twice, actually. Jersey are carried on this, so they won't pay anything up to $25 million or more. But more importantly, it's the excitement of it to hear. And this is another one where, you just got to watch out for. I think it's a 10-bagger, pretty much whatever happens. That was when I started at 140 or 120, what it was. It will go up and down ahead of the drilling. Because the excitement of the drilling, history tells us that the shares will go up, have a good run, people will think it's a bit expensive, take a bit of profit, come down again. So traders should be very aware of this. But I have to say that, I think that, as long as you slip out a bit of your profits before it happens, you must maintain an involvement here, because if this well was to come in for any reason, and there's no reason why it shouldn't, this will be absolutely monumental for Jersey. So this is one exciting one. I'm expecting drilling in August. Watch it very carefully. Really good quality traders would love this, because they'll play it, but the stock will be loosed out, come back, I'll play it again. Absolute storming potential stock for the bucket list, and I'm very excited about this one, Justin.
Yeah, look at that chart. It's a cracking chart. It just came down, it sort of landed softly at about just under 20 pence and started to take off. And literally, yeah, it hasn't looked back now. What? £2.24. And it still has a bit of strength there, it looks like. Wow. Okay, and the last one, is it Lek, you said, was it?
I mean, lots of people have been asking me to see Lek Oil and to talk to them and everything else, which I obviously don't do until I've met the company. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, 2 weeks ago, I saw Alfred. He gave me a nice positive view, which I'll be writing up shortly. But waiting for the announcement that the Utakikpu field in Nigeria was going to come on stream. Mm-hmm. And that was really key for this company. Now, that has been announced this morning, so that's the most important thing. Lek Oil is now formally on the list that I'm looking at. Not the bucket, it's just the list I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. With 5,000 barrels a day to start with, going up to 10,000 barrels a day. This looks very exciting. I'm glad to see that the field is coming on stream. There's a couple of other things which make the upside for the longer term look most exciting. Cautiously at the moment, but having met the company, I liked it, and there's some more exciting things to come. It's definitely one for the watch list, Lek Oil.
Okay, cool. Marvellous, Malky. I'll have to do some research. I know very little about those, so I'll read some of your notes on them anyway to start off with. Always a good starting point, and if you want a link to Malky's blog, in fact, you can see it in Fox, but it's also a link here on the thing there, on the podcast blog page. Malky, thanks so much for that. Speak next week, fella.
My pleasure. See you soon.
All right, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, Premier African Minerals, PREM. Some good RNSs. In fact, I'll get to that in a bit. But they've had a good rise. And I covered them with Nicola Duke on the earlier morning podcast. They're looking at charts. At four, Blenheim Natural Resources, BNR. At three, most followed, Asian Met Resources, ARS. At two, Ektech, EQT. And number one, most followed company in the last 24 hours, is Savannah Petroleum, SAVP. And I did write a blog about those on the weekend, and I think it's worth you checking them out. Very interesting, and they're coming to a news-rich area. Potential is massive. Their shareholder register is very strong, and I also like that they've got cash. The CEO holds 8% of the stock, so that's worth a read. Have a read of it. I'll put a link to the blog, actually, on the page here if you want to read that. Okay, top five. Listen, nothing here is investment advice, okay? Just information which to base your research. That's all I'm saying. No investment advice here. All right, top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. This morning, basically. At five, Sound Energy, SOU, Tendrara, TE, drilling commences. That's CE8 well. At four, Zenith Energy. I just talked to Andrea on the podcast. Divests its Argentine operations. At three, Premier African Minerals, PREM, mining contractor secured for RHA tungsten mine. At two, it's Talao Energy, interim results, RNS, second most liked. And number one, the most liked RNS today on Vox Markets was Premier African Minerals. Again, they released two RNSs this morning. Significant lithium grades, up to 3.3% lithium. And so check it out there. That's it for the podcast. Thanks very much. Much appreciated for listening.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.